We'd appreciate that. And also, be sure to join us this Wednesday. We've been doing a Bible study every Wednesday night. I don't know about y'all, but I'm ready to come back together on Wednesday nights. And I'm hoping that maybe we can get something going here before too long. But until then, and even probably after we meet back, we will still continue to have the Bible study available online on Wednesday nights as well. But until then, we will continue to have it online. We're doing a study on the book of Judges, so just continue reading Judges. I think this week we'll be in Judges 6 and 8, so just if you can read through Judges 8, that'll help you in our Bible study. So if you can be with us, I'd appreciate it. It's not always the easiest thing talking to nobody. I've never been a person that liked being on the camera. I'm just not one of those, because I feel like I'm saying something dumb or I look stupid or what have you. But I have learned to get over that. And Wednesday nights can be a challenge sometimes when you're just staring into the blank unknown. So just being honest with you how I feel sometimes on Wednesdays, but it's kind of interesting. It's just me and Maylee here on Wednesday nights, and she's helping me out. She's doing a wonderful job getting this online. So she likes staying behind the camera, and she don't like being out in front of the camera, but she does a wonderful job, and so I appreciate her coming and helping her old man. But I do appreciate her very much. But today we're beginning a new series, and I want to begin with the verses that this series comes from. And if you have your Bibles, you can go with me to the book of Romans, and I want to read from chapter 12. Now, I'm going to start with verse 1, and then I'm going to read verse 2 as well to get started. But these verses are some verses that you have probably heard before. If not, if you haven't necessarily heard, you've heard some kind of people talk about them or mention them. I've mentioned them multiple times. These are two verses that I believe are some of the backbone of Christianity and who we are to be in Christ. And that's what we're going to start in this series. We're going to talk about being renewed in Christ. So here's these verses. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and the most important one, perfect, right? Perfect will. So for the next several weeks, we're going to look at how we are renewed in Christ. If you look up the word renew in the dictionary, you get the meaning as this: to make like new, restore to freshness, vigor, or perfection. Now, each week I want to ask the question, how are we, you and I, renewed in Christ? And I'll give you a different answer each week. Today's answer is this: we are renewed in Christ by life together with fellow believers. We need one another. It's important that we have one another. Here's something that you can write down if you're taking notes or whatever, or if you, something that you can put down somewhere. And this is an important statement. It makes a lot of sense. Are you ready for this? If we can't get along with one another, then how do we expect the world to get along with us? As believers, as the church, if you and I can't get along with one another, then how do we expect the world to get along with us? Amen? But if you look at the verses that I just read to you, Paul's call to renewal consists of three appeals. And these are not my points for today, but these are things that I want you to, this is what the verses are talking about. Number one, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Number two, do not be conformed to this world. Number three, be transformed by the renewal of your mind. These are the three things that Paul was telling us. The body as a living sacrifice points us to a real public demonstrations of our faith. Every day, in all the places we go, all the things we do, all the decisions and recommendations that we make, we are presenting our bodies. Now, this ability to present ourselves as living sacrifices, it relies on our transformation to the new form in which we find ourselves in Christ. Our metamorphosis, that's a word that you learn in science class. You ever seen videos or, you know, those time-lapse videos where they show them speed up the video? But you'll see like a caterpillar, you know? It'll come and it'll make its way and it'll start forming the cocoon around itself, and then it opens up and it becomes what? A beautiful butterfly. You know, it's a changing process. It goes through a transformation. And so our metamorphosis happens when we renew, which means to make new, or more specifically, to be changed into a new kind of life as opposed to the former corrupt state. And one way that we are renewed in Christ is life together with fellow believers. This is important for us. So let's go back to our text, and I want to continue reading from verse 3. So we're going to start reading Romans chapter 12, verse 3. And I'm going to read through verse 13, and this is what it says. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. So Paul gets down to business here in Romans chapter 12 through 3 as he launches into his description of renewed in Christ life in the church. In Romans chapter 12, verses 3 through 13, the verses I just read to you, and beyond, he wants us to see the specific ways in which we demonstrate our new life among other believers in order to, you know, to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. We must practice discernment, finding our place in the fellowship according to our gifts and fitting ourselves to it. We are one body. Amen? Worshiping one God, right? So our ability to make a public demonstration of our faith, it depends on doing so together as one body. It's important that we understand that everything that we do, we are doing it as one body of believers. We are not separated. We are not multiple bodies. We are one body of believers. Yes, there may be multiple churches based all over this town. There may be multiple denominations, but if we all are believers, then we are all one body. Amen? That's who we are. That is who God has made us to be. So how should we live life with other believers? All of us are different. If you look at all the different Christian denominations that are around us, all of us have different beliefs. And then in those denominations, each church has different tastes. So how do we function together to make the church better than it ever has been? I've got three ways this morning that I believe can help the church be better. each of us can use these ways to make the church be better. That's what we want, right? We want the church to be better. We want us as believers to be better. We want to do the things that God has called us to do. We want to be who God wants us to be. We want to say the things that God wants us to say. We want to be what God wants us to be. That's what we want to do. Number one, by using our different gifts to uplift the church. All of you have different gifts. God has given every single one of us gifts. If you look at Romans chapter 12, verse 6 through 8 again, it says we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it's giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Paul lists what can be called the gifts of grace. They are God-given inclinations or desires, as well as special enablements or abilities. The Holy Spirit equips individuals with these gifts so that he can use them to build up God's people in the church and to express God's love to others. Every Christian has at least one such gift. Did you know that? Some of you are thinking, I don't know what my gift is. I don't have a gift. What do you mean every believer has a gift? Yes, every believer has at least one such gift. However, one's primary gift does not mean that he or she cannot exercise other gifts as needed. I've been in services where people say, I use the gift of tongues and interpretation, and I'd never used it before, but God used me during that service. I've heard people say, man, I was having a conversation with somebody, and God spoke to me, and I told this person something that no one else knew. God had never used me that way. We all have a gift, and sometimes we use another gift that we may not necessarily realize is our gift. Everyone has at least one primary gift, but that doesn't mean that you can't exercise other gifts as needed. But this list of seven grace gifts is simply representative of the abilities God distributes to individuals in the church. There are many more ways that God has gifted people with desires and abilities that they can use to serve him and others. Now, you can find other spiritual gifts in 1 Corinthians chapters 12 through 14. And these gifts are given to us to help lift up the church. That's what we are here for. Don't waste the gifts that you have been given, but use them for the glory of God. Amen? That's what we should do as believers. Take these gifts that God has given you. Now, let me ask you this. Let's say I gave you a gift. Let's say I gave you, if you remember as a kid, I know I did as a kid, I used to go get the Sears and Roebuck catalog. Y'all remember that? Go get the catalog and turn to the, and they had a toy catalog that would come out. And it was all toys at Christmas time. And you'd go through there and you'd circle what you wanted. Well, you know, of course, my kids, they go online and they find everything they want. And they say, this is what we want. And then we look at it and they give us a list, and we start looking, and we try to buy those gifts. Now, if you asked me for a gift, let's say a gift that you asked me for was, we're talking about being transformed. You asked me for a transformer, and I gave you a transformer. Now, if you took that gift and you just put it aside and let it sit there and didn't use it, it doesn't do you no good, does it? That gift's pointless. You're saying, well, I would want a transformer anyway. If you asked me for it, you would want a transformer, right? So you take that gift and you take it out and you play with it, or you display it, or you do something with it, but if you just leave it in the box, it's worthless, right? It meant nothing. God has given us gifts to use, to minister, to lift up the body of believers. If I have a gift, let's say my gift is singing, God did not give me that great ability to sing. I try not to put it out there too much because it's not the most beautiful that it could be. However, if God did give you that ability, use that ability. If God gives you the ability to speak wisdom or something into someone's life, use that. If God gives you the gift of discernment, use that to understand and to know when people should be helped or when they shouldn't be helped. There are different gifts that God gives us to help build up the body, to help build up one another. Brings me to my second point. Number two, by building one another up in the Lord. Later in Romans chapter 14, Paul offers another extended teaching on life specific to the church. Here, his concern is for believers to bear with one another and our differences. Now, many explanations have been offered for the rancor that apparently existed in the Roman church between the weak, W-E-A-K, not W-E-E-K, and those who were not weak. Now, there may have been discord between Jewish and Gentile Christians or between legalist and non-legalist. Whatever the cause, Paul insists that the judgment cease and that the people focus on peace and upbuilding. The stronger cannot be allowed to cause the weaker to stumble. Conversely, the weaker are made stronger when others come alongside them. I believe Romans chapter 12, verse 13 sums it up nicely, and he says this, "Therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your mind not to put any stumbling block or obstacle in your brother's way." That's a pretty good verse, isn't it? I like what he says there. It's important that we keep in mind that we will all give account to God for our own conduct. Though we must hold back from judging each other in trivial matters, Christians should consider how to encourage each other to be more like Christ in issues concerning faith, biblical teaching, and morals. I'm not saying that if you see a brother stumbling, you should just let it go. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying that we should be encouraging to one another. Look at what Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 says. It says, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds." Romans chapter 14, verse 19 says, "Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification." It's important that we help build one another up. We need to use the gifts that God has given us, and we need to help build one another up. If someone is stumbling in an area, let's take an alcoholic, for instance. Let's say somebody used to be an alcoholic. They got saved. God changed them. Can I tell you, don't take that alcoholic to a bar. Right? They might stumble. If you have someone that is struggling in an area, don't try to do everything that you... I'm not saying be ridiculous, but I'm saying do everything that you can to help that person so that they don't stumble. So that they don't fall, that they don't so they don't stumble into that temptation. We don't know what war is raging inside of people. We don't know what's happening. We don't know what's going on, what kind of battles they're faced with. So let's be someone that can lift them up and be lifting to them and not someone that's going to help them stumble along the way. Number three, this is the last point I want to make this morning, and it's kind of a three-parter. So we got 3 points in number three. Three for three. That sounds good, right? You always want a three for three bargain when you go to the store, right? Give me three for three. $3. And here's what number three is. Hate what is evil, be devoted to each other, and faithful in prayer. So break it down even further. Hate what is evil. It is not enough for God's people to love what is right and true. They must also, like their Savior, Jesus, hate evil. We see this reality of Christ's devotion to righteousness and his hatred of wickedness in his life, ministry, and death. All of Christ's work, if you look at it, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, including his death for our sins, was to oppose, overcome, and destroy the work and effects of evil in people's lives. Jesus' faithfulness to his Father, shown by his love of righteousness and hatred of wickedness, is the basis for God's anointing of his Son to fulfill his mission on earth. In the same way, our anointing for God's service will come only as we identify with our Master's attitude toward righteousness and evil. Next one, be devoted to each other. All those devoted in faith to Jesus Christ must be devoted to one another as spiritual brothers and sisters in Christ. With sincerity, sensitivity, and kindness, we must be concerned for the welfare, needs, and spiritual condition of others, emphasizing with them and helping them through their sorrows and troubles. We must honor and respect one another, recognizing the good qualities in other Christians. In this way, people who do not know Christ will notice and be drawn to his love, which they see reflected in us. That's the biggest thing. If people can't see Christ's love in you when you call yourself a Christian, what's the point? Right? If they can't see me doing everything that I can to live the life that Christ wants me to live, then what's the point? Why am I calling myself a Christian? And can I tell you that when you're in this world, it's hard sometimes. I'm going to love you with Jesus' name, you know, right? I'm going to show you, you know. Jesus told me to turn the other cheek, but I'm about to turn your other cheek, you know. I mean, it's hard sometimes, but we, as believers, we have to do everything that we possibly can to live the life that Christ has called us to live, to be who Christ called us to be, to make every effort that we can to love one another and to love those that are unlovable. Amen? You know who I'm talking about. You probably have people right now in your life that are some of the most unlovable people. And you probably have some people right now in your life that aren't just unlovable, but they're just awful. Everything they do is complain about everything. It, you know, they could walk outside, it could be the most beautiful day, and they're going to find something to complain about. It's just miserable out here. You know what I'm saying? It's a gorgeous day, and you're looking around going, are you serious? Yeah, it's a little hot, but man, it's beautiful. You know, or that you could go out, you know how you have that nice summer breeze and it just blows through and you're just like, oh, this is so nice. It's so cool today. And they'd say, well, it's just too windy. You know those people. You all know what I'm talking about. So we should do everything that we can to lift one another up. And the last one is faithful in prayer. This phrase, it's translated from a very strong Greek word called, and I'm going to butcher this, y'all. I've never said I was a Greek scholar, okay? But here it is. Proskartoroutis. Y'all go look that up. It implies continuous persistence, perseverance, and insistence. The Bible recognizes that most of us will struggle not only to keep an attitude of prayer, but also to spend real time in prayer. Now, this verse encourages us to be faithful and persistent in prayer because it is our access to God for a life of spiritual intimacy and power. It is also the means by which God advances his kingdom purposes on earth. We need to have a persistent prayer life. Now, I know there are times that we get out of the habit, and there are times that we may forget to say something or forget to talk to God or what have you. I try to, the best that I can, talk to him constantly throughout the day. Yeah, sometimes I'm talking to myself, or you're going to look at me and think I'm crazy, but I promise you, I'm talking to the Father. Now, there are times I know that I probably just talk to myself, And but don't we, aren't we all just a little crazy? Come on now. Am I the only one that's crazy? Aren't we all just a little bit crazy? You know, what is it Sheldon used to always say? I'm not crazy. My mom had me tested, you know. And that's what I tell people all the time. I'm not crazy. My mom had me tested. So there's some truth to that. But we need to work on having a consistent prayer life. And it's that communication with God that we as believers can communicate with Him. And in that communication, we can learn how to help build one another up. I want to end this morning's message with a story. It's found in the NIV Women's Devotional Bible, and it's called With Love and Gentleness by Rebecca Manley Peipert. And it's about a young man named Bill. And Bill was a new Christian and unschooled in the conventions of the church. So he had no idea the stir he was creating when he arrived barefoot to worship at a church near the campus where he was studying. And there was nowhere to sit. His eyes searched the pews, and finding no space, he walked to the front of the sanctuary and sat on the floor just in front of the first pew. Every eye was on him as an elderly man rose from his own pew and walked to the front where Bill had planted himself on the floor. The elderly churchgoer didn't ask him to leave. He didn't even direct him to a side pew. Instead, as gracefully as he could, he lowered himself to the floor beside Bill and worshiped alongside him. This is just the kind of upbuilding and forbearance that Paul calls us to practice as the body of Christ. It's important that we help build one another up. How are we renewed in Christ? By learning to come together with one another, with other believers, and working to build on, to work on those relationships, to build them up. I have seen churches destroyed because church people couldn't get along. It's not worth it. The last time I checked, your opinion and my opinion doesn't matter. All that matters is God's opinion. Amen? And I have seen churches destroyed because people couldn't get along. Because people would make comments about something else, or they didn't like the color of the carpet, or they didn't like the, you know, they wanted chairs and not pews, or they wanted pews and not chairs, or they wanted to sing out of the hymn books, or they didn't want to sing out of the hymn books anymore, or, man, why do we have to start putting the music on the screens, and why do we use guitars, why can't we just use the piano, and I mean, all these things, and the last time I checked, it doesn't matter, right? My opinion and your opinion doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is God's opinion. And so we got to do what God tells us to do as a church. That's the important thing. And it's when we start working together to fulfill what God has called us to do is when the church becomes the church that it needs to be so that we can move forward in love and help build one another up and help them in their faith. We are all on a journey together. And the last time I checked, we are better together than we are apart. Amen? And so as believers, that is important that we work together. Let's pray. God, I just thank you that we can come together today, be in your house. And God, I pray that the message that you have delivered forth here today, God, I pray that we take it to heart as the church, as a body of believers, that we take it to heart and go forth and do what you have called us to do, what you have asked us to do, who you want us to be, the church that you want us to be, that you are calling us forward, God, to go and do your work. And God, help us to come together, to work together, to minister to those that are outside this church and outside the body, so that we can all come together in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Before we leave this morning, I want to take a moment, and we're going to take up the offering. I want you to please join us this Wednesday night for Bible study. It'll be on YouTube. And we're continuing the book of Judges. But I want to tell you one last thing before we go. If you give online, let me say thank you. If you give in service, let me say thank you. Thank you so much for your faithfulness in giving. This helps us as the church continue to do the many ministries that we are doing. I am amazed at what we as a church have been able to continue to do each week. And it's all because of your faithfulness. Your faithfulness in giving. Whether you give every week, whether you give once a month, you give twice a month, however you give, it's because of your faithfulness that we as a church are be able to minister to those outside this church, whether it's through our food pantry, through blessing bags, whatever it is, it's because of your faithfulness. So let me say thank you. You know, one of the interesting things about tithes and offerings is that this is the one area where God instructs us to put him to the test to see if his word is really true. God promises us that when we are generous with our wealth and resources, his generosity will be evident in our lives. And for those of you who have recently stumbled upon difficult times, maybe because of this whole COVID-19 thing, maybe the loss of a job or unexpected expenses, whatever it is, you may be wondering, where is God throughout your struggles, even as you continue to be faithful with your giving and your tithing? And I want to remind you this morning of the Hebrew author's words in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10, which says, God is always fair. He will remember how you helped his people in the past and how you are still helping them. You belong to God, and he won't forget the love you have shown his people. I want to encourage you this morning, regardless of your situation, whether you're experiencing perfect peace or the storm at its worst, God has not forgotten you. And furthermore, he's not forgotten all you have done for his people and what you continue to do. God allows us to experience difficulty in our lives for our own growth, and through it, he demonstrates his faithfulness and miraculous work through us. So let me encourage you this morning that God sees every generous action you engage in, and he is keeping track of your faithfulness. Every opportunity you choose to be generous, especially in times of difficulties, God sees, and he will honor you for it in his perfect timing. Paul tells us in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, don't get tired of helping others. You will be rewarded when the time is right if you don't give up. Amen? Thank you for your generosity in giving this morning. Let's pray. God, we just thank you for allowing us to be here. And God, I pray that you bless this offering. Bless each and every person that gives. God, I pray that you would touch their hearts, touch their lives, do a work in them, God. I pray that we can be the church that you want us to be, God, that as we go forth and do your work, God, that you will continue to pour out blessings upon those that give and upon the church, God, and that we give you all the praise and all the glory. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you for coming. Thank you for joining us online. And I just want to say that may God bless you, and I hope you had a wonderful 4th yesterday, and tomorrow we have to get back and go to work and all that, you know, the fun is over, right, as they say. Some of y'all are like, no, I'm retired. I'm enjoying my life. What are y'all talking about? But y'all have a wonderful week, and be sure to join us Wednesday night for Bible.